Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you who are listening live as well as on the World Wide Web at WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher from the East, that's Burton, Sheila Crawford, who loves to share with you the biblical golden nuggets, especially about the end times. And a reminder, you can re-listen to this show later this week on shofarministries.net. And before we get started, we're going to ask God for his blessing on this program, as well as to all the listeners who have set aside their current undertake, what you were doing on Saturday. You've set it aside to learn from the Word of God. And you're going to be blessed by that.
Did you wear your humor hat today, John?
Yes, I guess I did. Well, let's get serious here, because we want to thank our Father in Heaven for all the blessings, and especially this opportunity he's given us to strengthen his church. With the word of prophecy. Father, open our eyes and our ears to what your words speak to us today. Remember us for healing, specifically for heart problems, surgeries, and ankle problems that are seeming to hang on. Mm-hmm. We know that you're our healer, and if it's your will, we just ask that you could bring a swift and not dramatic, but just swift healing, because it's painful. Yeah. And for all of our listeners that need prayer for pain, we just lift them all up to you.
Those bless them, Lord.
Yes, just bless them. And we thank you again in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, John. Shabbat shalom to you, too. And Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
That's right. For the last month we have, and I think successfully, we've been debunking the anti-pre-trib rapturist. That's a mouthful.
It is.
And you now should have enough good information to use for your reproof and correction. Those are biblical terms. It doesn't mean hit people over the head or be mean to them, but reproof and correction. And since you've learned that, be ready to be used in that area, because God will use you. He will send you somebody that will ask you about that.
If you have the knowledge, he will use you.
Yeah.
And so many people don't have the knowledge, so you're not being used, and you're not feeling like you should as a Christian.
Well, doesn't he say, for lack of knowledge, my people are dumb?
I know.
And that means dumb, not being able to speak.
Right.
Yes.
It does. Thank you for reminding me of that. Gosh. Okay. Well, anyway, I will be speaking next Thursday. That'll be May 20th, just in case this would be a show that is being replayed. It is May 20th at Lakeshore Assembly of God and Menor. That's 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard at 7 p.m. And please come out and join our open forum assembly and bring your end-time questions.
Yes, and if you would like Sheila to come out to your church or group, give her a call at 440-834-9006.
And today we're going to be discussing two upcoming wars with Israel, so you can differentiate between them in the Bible.
Yeah, but first, before we get into that, what's in the news today that fits into this prophetic scenario that we should talk about?
Yes, well, some news will apply to one of these wars that we will talk about today. But before that, there is some information of significance that I should mention to help us realize how close we are to the coming of the Lord.
And okay? the setting up of a world government and
absolutely.
Everything else. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, God is continuing to be removed from America.
Yes.
Just this week in Lancaster, California, a lawsuit was filed by a Jewish lady who was offended when she attended a city council meeting, which was always opened with prayer, but it was particularly mentioning the name of Jesus that upset her. So she went to a lawyer, and she is actually suing them. And it's interesting that actually the lawyer that she's using just recently defended a pornographer's right to make pornography. Now tell me this isn't sad. Far left. And there was also a senior citizen's home this last week in Georgia. You probably saw it on the news. They now have banned prayer before meals because the meals are subsidized by the federal government. So therefore now they can't pray.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That is silly.
But again,
Crazy.
Just taking us to the, you know, more closer to when Jesus is going to call us home. That's see this evil getting darker and darker.
The stage is being set.
It is.
Yes.
For total darkness.
Yes.
And we have to leave for total darkness to appear.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
And then our own Attorney General Eric Holder refuses to call terrorism by the name of radical Islam. He says he doesn't want to offend any religion. Now, we're not saying nice Muslims. We're saying radical Islam. Mm-hmm. And he won't even use that. And then, this really takes the cake, our President Obama has now slashed New York's security funding by $53 million, even after this latest fizzled car bomb attack. And thank God it was fizzled.
Yeah, thank God it fizzled, yes.
But this is going to make them even more vulnerable, and New York, it needs more protection because that's where they want to get to.
Yeah. Why would he do something like that?
Well, actually, I heard someone say on the news that they think it's because of Representative New York's Peter King. He voted against the stimulus package. So it's payback.
Hmm.
In fact, I understand that anyone that voted against the stimulus package... Don't ask for anything.
It's Chicago payback-style politics is what it is.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is.
So amazing.
Mm.
And now, this is another really very offensive. The World Trade Center towers, you know, they have not been rebuilt, but it's a place now called Ground Zero. But right across the street, there is a Muslim mosque being built. And what's to take the cake... It's to open, guess when?
It wouldn't be September
11th. Yes.
My God.
Yes. What a slap in the face. It's just amazing, you know, because it was Muslims that did this. And then to build a mosque right across the street, when we have American kids getting tossed out of school for wearing American flag shirts on a Mexican beer holiday because they were being insensitive. But, of course, it's totally cool to open a mosque right across the street from Ground Zero and on 9/11.
Yes, but you know what? I have heard that radical Muslim terrorists like to mark their victories with some sort of an edifice or a trademark.
Yes, I
maybe that's
too.
Exactly what this is. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I would think so. Oh, they need saved. They need the real Jesus. If you know a Muslim, please witness to them instead of being afraid that they might come and bomb your house.
That's not going to happen.
That's not even funny, really.
I don't think that'll ever happen. There's just a very few.
But I think some people do fear Muslims.
Yeah, I think
they
do. And
that's why they cater and tolerate instead of giving the gospel.
Yes.
I really do.
Yes.
But anyway.
And they're more open to it than you might think.
I know they are.
Yes.
I realized that when I was over in Israel at the airport especially. I would talk to Muslims, and they would easily want to talk about their faith.
Yes.
And I gave them some seeds.
Yeah.
You know, I did. So that's what we need to do. But now the Obama administration is trying to pass more bills, like an immigration bill, that will just about give amnesty to all illegal aliens. And, you know, I'm all for bringing them in, but let them do it legally, you know, the way it's supposed to be. But this would be just in time for the November elections. And for sure, if he doesn't get it done by this November, he'll have it done by before he goes up for re-election in 2012. But he needs the votes.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gives amnesty to all these illegal aliens, they will vote for him. He also is going to give rights to felons to be able to vote.
Well,
and
you know,
we're talking millions of Democratic voters here.
Yeah, that's an old political trick, I guess, and they do need the votes badly, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think.
Oh yeah, they do.
I don't think most Americans agree with any of this.
No, in fact, if the Republicans get in, and not even the Republicans, but the Independents, the Tea Party people that are backing them, if they get in, which a lot of people say they're going to, in fact, they've already in primaries have figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, this is going to slow the process down.
Yes, it will.
However, John, did you ever think about this? If the rapture occurred before the November elections, then they would be able to get their agenda put in on the progressive movement and the Democratic left.
Yes.
And that would fall into line because actually all the players are there ready to take over.
Yes, they are. And we're keeping them out of the way. You mentioned that a lot of conservatives are Christian. They might disappear in the rapture.
Exactly.
They might disappear, and then that would leave the majority of votes to the progressives.
Yeah, maybe it's going to come this year.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, and also, they need votes so badly that Nancy Pelosi has recently called on all preachers to tell their flocks from the pulpit to vote for the immigration bill because that's the real gospel.
Now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. Isn't that mixing church and state?
Yeah, something that they won't let us do.
Oh.
We're not allowed to do anything like that.
Oh, my goodness.
It's incredible.
Oh, boy.
And then, of course, lastly, this unfortunate oil spill is really adding fuel to the fire of the anti-oil drilling protesters, who really are progressives that want us to stay dependent on foreign oil. You know, they say never let a crisis go to waste.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly are not. They're going to use this catastrophe to the fullest. They probably might even, some of them, be glad that it even happened.
Yes.
And now, remember, the only reason I'm bringing all this up, okay, is not to utilize time to talk about the news when we should be in the Bible. That's not the idea. I'm bringing this up so that you can realize how dark we're getting out there and how close we are to the end. Tell somebody about Jesus.
That is the best reason for all this. Don't get upset about it. It's supposed to, like you said, the stage has been set and the players are all there. Let me remind you, too, that later we'll open up the lines for your end time questions. And you may, if you don't want to call us, you can email Sheila and she will answer it on next week's program.
I will.
And she can do that at Sheila@shofarministries.net. And you spell Sheila with S-H-E-I-L-A. And check out, while you're at our website, check out our calendar where events are posted. Or you can even call Sheila as well. Call her right at home and leave a detailed message, and she'll be sure to get back to you. And once again, let me suggest to the listeners, if you missed any previous programs, just go to our website, shofarministries.net, to get these detailed teachings. The lines will be open when we come back. If you have questions, particularly on end times eschatology, it's 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Since we cover such a big area on the radio, we would like both to visit you at your church for an evening of Messianic worship and a timely message. So ask your pastor and ask him to give us a call at 440-834-9006. I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all your gifts are tax-deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, 44021, or give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal. And you can purchase the teaching DVDs there on the spring feast for a donation of only $15.
Yes, I think we're going to go to early commercial so that when we come back, we'll have more time to spend in the Word, which we're going to have some deep study in the second half. But I do want to plead with you. We do need your help out there. We are about to reach our year, and we have to sign a new contract. And I would really appreciate just 10 people pledging $100 per month, and then we could handle the rest and renew our contract.
It's a year next week.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And you can call in the pledge on the air, and Nick will answer the phone, and you can give it to him. We'll put you on the air if you want to give your pledge over the air to help inspire other people to do so. Whatever you want to do is fine, or just give him your information. Perhaps you'd like to actually sponsor the show by advertising your company, or maybe you could refer someone that you know would like to. Again, reach me later for details at home at 440-834-9006, or just call on the air and make a pledge. I'd sure really appreciate it.
That's right. And once again, those numbers for your end time questions or pledges is 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Now stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a great song by Johnny Cash. Another one. So stay with us.
Stay with us. Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kasalek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
This is Jay the Gospel Kid. I invite you to be a part of the Holy Ghost Tsunami, the 2010 Quartet Super Bowl Showcase. Yes, if you have a group, choir, ensemble, or soloist, and you want to win $1,000, you need to call 216-440-1374 or visit GospelKid.com. GospelKid with two D's.com. You need to be there. I'm going to be there. Don't forget, 216-440-1374.
Your goals include a college degree, traditional on campus or online, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Just starting college or ready to complete your degree, visit ChristianCollegesNow.com. ChristianCollegesNow.com features all the tools you'll need in your search for the best Christian college or seminary and the ideal degree program. It's as simple as search, find, apply. ChristianCollegesNow.com is your central hub for higher Christian education with tips, advice, and tools for advanced planning. It's time for more than just a diploma. It's time for ChristianCollegesNow.com.
WHKW AM 1220 The Word is pleased to feature the Bible Answer Man as our Ministry of the Month. Here's a portion of the conversation Glenn Mertz had with Hank Hanegraaff.
Are you finding that people are having more and more questions and just out there just searching?
I tell you, if there was ever a need for the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it is now, because people are continuously asking questions. And I think part of the reason for that, Glenn, is that there are so many skeptics today who have received an enormous sense of popular acceptance. And as a result of that, they are raising doubts in the minds of Christians with respect to origins, with respect to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and with respect to the veracity of the Scriptures.
The Bible Answer Man is our Ministry of the Month for May. Be sure to listen to the Bible Answer Man weeknights at 6 p.m. on AM 1220 The Word.
Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
And There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound. When the man comes around.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.
Wow. That was Johnny Cash, a song penned by Johnny Cash and sung by Johnny Cash, one of the last songs he did. And although it may not be all theologically right on the money, that song presents the return of our Lord and Savior in a very dramatic fashion and gets you thinking.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yes. I bet you could do that song, John.
I think I probably gave it a... Well, you know what? I've been accused, if you want to use that word, of sounding a little bit like Johnny Cash.
Yes, you have.
But I take it as a compliment.
You should.
By the way, my song Sparrow on our website, it's there. You can download it. It's right up at the top of the page.
It.
Do anything you want with
it. Send it to a music director or whatever you do.
Yes. So, but anyway, welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And now we're going to get into the meat.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about two wars. And the reason that I said in the beginning of this show that some of the news today is kind of like pointing to it is that according to Debka File, which is one of the news sources that I use, they say that Syria, Hezbollah, Hamas, all the immediate neighbors of Israel are gearing up for a war.
Mm-hmm.
And Iran has already told Israel that if you try to take out any of our reactors or whatever they do over there, that they're close nations right around them, the enemies, you
yes.
know, Palestinians, Hamas, Hezbollah, blah, 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 will come after them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the power to do that now because
Iran, weapons.
Yes.
Iran weapons have been moving across borders.
Iran has been giving weapons to Syria.
Yes.
Who's been giving them to Hezbollah in Lebanon. And that's a fact.
Yes.
That's a fact. So I thought, you know, for the next couple of weeks at least, although we will be talking about Pentecost a little bit next week because that's coming up too.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about these wars, and I want people to be able to understand how to differentiate between them and what's happening, because the first one we're going to talk about is the War of Gog and Magog. And a lot of times people say that, teachers, in fact, say, well, that could happen at any moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I totally disagree, and I want to explain why.
Oh, that's
okay.
Good.
So let's open up to Ezekiel 38. If you have your Bibles out there, I hope you'll follow along. And I'm going to ask John just to read the first six verses. Would you do that, John?
I'd be glad to. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tuval, and prophesy against him and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tuval, and I will turn you around and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring thee out, and all thy army, horses and horsemen, all of them, in complete attire, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them handling swords, Paras, Cush, and Put with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the far sides of the north, and all his bands, and many peoples with thee.
Okay, let's just talk a little bit about this. Okay, here we see an attack that's going to come against Israel, and it actually shows the players. We're going to start off with Gog, which is really just a title of an evil leader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it can be satanically inspired, which probably, you know, probably is.
No, it's not really somebody's first name, apparently.
No,
no.
It's not a name of a place. It's just a title, meaning evil.
Hmm.
Okay, and the land of Magog, Roshan, Meshach, and Tubal, these are all areas in Russia. Okay, this is basically proven, you know, we won't go into how, but if you need to check that out, you can. You will find the same thing. And say, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog the prince, and it says the same thing. Now, in verse 4, he says, I. Now, who are we talking about here?
God.
God.
Yes.
You bet. God will turn you around. Take these nations. They will put. He will put hooks into their jaws. In other words, give them a good reason and lead them with their army, their horses, their horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords. Okay, so then we got into some more. Who's going to be aligned with Russia now? We've got Persia, which of course is Iran today. We have Ethiopia, which is down at southern Egypt. And then we have Libya, which is on the west of Egypt. And with them, all of them with shield and helmet. So there's the whole gamut, along with verse 6, Gomer, which is southwestern Turkey, and all its troops, the house of Togarmah, which is northern Turkey, when it even goes on and say from the far north, and all its troop, many peoples with you. Okay, so there we have the players.
So you said Libya, you said Turkey.
Yes. Iran.
Iran. Syria.
Ethiopia. Russia.
Was Syria in there or no?
No.
No. Okay. Syria's
no, that's not in there.
Okay.
In fact, John, before we go on, can you notice, now, people out there probably don't have a map to look at, but we have looked at the map. And when you look at the map and you see these nations, they're pretty far away from the little thing of Israel, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah. Yeah, they're not like Syria or Jordan Egypt that share borders with.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, right there, that should tell you something as to why God is not including their immediate enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so keep that thought in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as you continue to read, let's do at least 7 through. Oh my gosh, 12.
7 through 12.
Yeah.
And it says, I think he's still talking to the armies here.
Yes.
Because this is, he's taking this personally, it sounds like to me. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard to them. After many days thou shalt be called upon. In the latter years thou shalt come against the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many peoples against the mountains of Israel, which have been, up until then, I guess, a continual waste.
Mm-hmm.
But it is brought out of the nations, and they dwell safely, all of them.
Dwell safely. That's another clue. Keep going.
Okay. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many peoples with thee.
Right. The whole, all the nations that he just mentioned. Verse 10.
Thus says the Lord God, it shall come to pass on that day that things shall come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil scheme. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at quiet, that dwell in safety, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thy hand against the waste places that are now inhabited, and against the people that are gathered out of the nations, that have acquired cattle and goods, and that dwell at the center of the earth.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
It is. So, basically, for those teachers that say this could happen at any moment, I would have a tendency to doubt that. But, again, we know what in that day means, in that day, on that day, same word.
Mm-hmm.
We know what that means, John, because we've taught on the show a few times. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to go to my webpage, go and find the radio program that it says in that day,
right,
and learn about it, because that means it hasn't happened yet.
It's an idiom for the seventh millennium.
Yes. You got it. Yeah. Okay, so it says in that day, so we know it's not going to happen until at least the tribulation.
Right.
Okay? And probably during the tribulation, because it's not going to happen in the millennial kingdom. Okay, so it's going to happen in the first 7 years. So it can't happen before we're out of here.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. All right, so when it happens, though, it says, you will say, verse 11, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. Okay, right now, they are continuing to build a 430-mile wall.
Yes.
On the border of Israel and Syria in that area.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's not the, there's another one, too. There's some around.
I think there is.
Around Jerusalem or something.
So they're certainly not unwalled villages.
Couldn't say that now.
Now, when I originally read this, and you know, we grow. Boy, do we grow. Does God not give us gold nuggets as we continue to?
Yes,
he does. But originally, when I first started studying prophecy and I read this, I thought, okay, when the Antichrist comes, he's going to bring peace and a pseudo peace, but, you know, they won't have these unwalled, or they won't have walled villages anymore. You know, their walls will come down, and, you know, but they have signed covenants prior to the one they're going to sign with the Antichrist. Okay, they did it in 93. They've done it in year 2000. I mean, there's covenants that they've signed, and they never took down their walls.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have continued building them, but they didn't take them down.
So,
and I really highly doubt that when the Antichrist comes, they're going to all of a sudden knock down all those walls. I don't think so.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like that would happen.
Yeah. So, and it goes on to say in verse 11, I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them, dwelling without walls. Again, he keeps saying that, and having neither bars or gates. And that's kind of an idiom for that they put down their arms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then it says that they're going to come against them to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out their hand against the waste places that are again inhabited.
Yeah, and that's a very good clue to tell you this is talking about Israel re-inhabited in the last days.
Absolutely. But I think when it goes on to say that it's waste places, that I'm thinking that there is going to be something that happens even before the Antichrist that is going to make Israel bigger and increase its borders so it'll go past where the wall is that they're building right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's interesting. Because it this sure couldn't be talking about today with those walls existing, right?
Exactly. Okay. It cannot. And, of course, they're not in peace by any means.
No.
You know, they're getting bombed or missiled every day.
Yes.
From Gaza and things like that. So I believe that something's going to happen. I also believe they'll probably hit oil because they're going to be very rich because it says they're going to come to take plunder. But plunder.
Yeah.
But it might even be more than oil. It might even be much more than oil.
Technology? What?
Well, technology, livestock, you know, gold, goods, whatever.
Interesting. Israel certainly has something that a lot of nations want. We don't know what. We know Jerusalem. They want Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But
that's going to be a stumbling stone, and it already is.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What do you think about the fact that these nations that are mentioned here, though, are so far away from tiny little Israel? Wouldn't you think that somehow there might be another war prior where it's going to win and increase its borders and get rid of its immediate neighbors?
Hmm.
Now, this is heavy, but there is some scripture that makes us think that indeed can be the case.
Hmm.
What do you think? Think it's a possibility?
I think it's anything can happen these days, and especially when I don't think you'd bring it up.
Amen. All right, there is something going on in Psalm 83, and I know that a lot of our listeners probably have, you know, read this and probably wondered about it. In fact, I've heard it said that maybe this is part of the War of Gog and Magog, and it's just not listed in Ezekiel 38. I don't think so.
Hmm.
He just doesn't do it that way.
Hmm.
So let's read Psalm 83, and let's see what enemies we're talking about here. If you could read verses 1 through 8.
1 through 8. God, don't remain silent. Don't stay quiet, God, or still, because here are your enemies, causing an uproar. Those who hate you are raising their heads, craftily conspiring against your people.
They are.
Yes, consulting together against those you treasure. They say, come, let's wipe them out as a nation.
Wow, does Iran say that?
Yes, and it's almost like he got it out of here, you know.
Yes.
Let the name of Israel be remembered no more.
Wow.
With one mind, they plot their schemes. The covenant they made is against you. Okay, mm-hmm. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrim, which is Egypt, Gaval, Ammon, Amalek, Pleshet, and those living in Tyre. Ashur, too, is allied with them, and I understand Ashur is Syria and Iraq.
Yeah, I'm going to go over that in a minute.
To reinforce the descendants of Lot.
Okay. Yeah, if you notice these enemies, these are all the inner circle of enemies that are surrounding Israel.
Well, they Egypt does share a border.
That's right. And so let's go through each one of these.
Okay.
The tents of Edom are the Palestinians. Now, we know the descendants of Esau come from that area and are the Palestinians today. And again, you'd have to do your own homework if you want to figure that out. But the tents of Edom are actually probably referring to all the refugees that are in Jordan right now that actually left Israel because they were told to leave Israel in the 1967 war.
Okay.
When they won back Jerusalem. Or maybe it was the 48 one. I'm not even positive. But
I think
know
in the 48.
It might have been 48. Okay.
I think they had free access. They had a choice. They gave them a choice. You can stay here or you can leave.
And they said, don't worry. As soon as we win, you can come back.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't win.
Yeah.
So now there's refugee camps in the northern, middle, and southern Jordan, and I've seen pictures, and they are still in tents. And
the reason
they keep them in tents is so that they can say, see what the Israelites have done to us, what the Jews have done to us.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's no reason that they still have to be in tents. Jordan is a rich country.
Mm-hmm.
They could have made them homes by now.
Yeah,
they purposely have done it.
They have, and it's a good photo op.
Yeah, so that's the tents of Edom. It's actually the Palestinians in Jordan.
And
the
Ishmaelites
is Saudi Arabia. Of course, we know that Ishmael settled in that area.
Okay.
And then we have Moab, which is actually in the middle of Jordan. Then we have the Hagrites, which you already said is Hagar was from Egypt. So we've got Egypt.
Okay.
Gabal is actually, I think we said, northern Lebanon. It's a city in northern Lebanon.
And that's Israel's northern border.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Amman, and that again is the northern Jordan. Again, more Palestinian refugees. And then we have Amalek. And Amalek is actually the descendants on today's Hamas.
Hmm.
Okay. And we know that's there. In fact, Hamas is more in the Gaza Strip.
Wow.
And then Philistia is the area of the Philistines used to be, and that is also the Gaza Strip.
Mm-hmm.
And with the inhabitants of Tyre, this is southern Lebanon where the Hezbollah is.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we have the Assyria, like you said, or Asher, depending on your Bible, which is Syria and northern Iraq. And they have helped the children of Lot, and Lot was also in the area of Jordan.
Wow.
So we have, what we're seeing here is all the immediate neighbors of Israel today.
That are their enemies. Well,
right.
Not well. Yeah.
Well,
they are.
They are.
They all.
Some are saying,
yeah,
"Okay, we'll tolerate," you know, like,
yeah,
Jordan. But now that Jordan's has his father died, actually, and the son has taken over, so he's not quite as nice as actually the father was.
Yes.
So he don't care. Egypt, of course, Mubarak is like 85 years old, and he's never really been fond of Israel. So, you know, anyway,
with one mind, they plot their schemes. And they,
right,
one thing they'll all agree on is that they would be a lot happier if Israel did not exist.
Oh, absolutely.
These nations would stay.
It's
that,
always been that,
yeah,
way because, mm-hmm, they're influenced by Satan.
Yes.
You know, very,
exactly,
very easy. So here we have what I term the inner circle of enemies for Israel today.
Okay.
And according to Psalm 83, it looks like they're going to go to war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not going to read the whole thing right now because we're kind of like running out of time. But if you read the whole thing, you will see 9 through 12, it actually gives examples of past wars in the Old Testament where God did his thing.
God intervened and caused him great victory.
That's right. And then it goes on for Asaph to say, so, Lord, do it again. You know, frighten them with your storm. And verse 18 closes, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. So I believe there's going to be a war, and it's going to be before the tribulation. And why do I know that, John?
Well, yeah, why do you know that? Won't you please tell us, O wise Lord? I think I know. I think I know what you're going to say, because there's something missing,
yes,
from this
psalm.
Yes, why
don't you say it?
There's something missing from this psalm that we... this obvious prophetic psalm that we don't
look for.
That we always look for, and that is, there's no mention of that day.
No, in that day it's
in
not.
That day does not, that phrase does not exist in this psalm.
Correct. So, with that information, I believe that this war could happen any day.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, when I read in the paper that they're gearing up for a war, that they believe something's going to happen, either with Israel trying to do something to the nuclear tunnels or whatever over in Iran, whatever it is, they're ready. And because they won the war 2006, they considered it a victory because, you know, they remember the Lebanon war?
Yeah, the Lebanon, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the Lord let them win that to build up their pride.
Okay.
You know, and they're saying, well, we did that. We can really wipe them out. Now, we know we've got what we need and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Okay, so their pride is being built up. And God is probably even giving them little ideas and letting the enemy give the ideas, because prophecy has to be fulfilled.
Yes.
Number one, prophecy must be fulfilled. This is in here. Although it might have been partially fulfilled at one time with the 48 war, 67 war, 73 war, it never included all these.
Yeah, it was a group of some
smaller,
of all of these,
right,
but never all of these.
Right, mm-hmm, right. And this really hasn't happened. But what else hasn't happened is in Isaiah 17:1. Let's look at that real quick. Hold your finger there, because we'll probably come back there. There's a prophecy there that has never happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can read just the first verse.
17:3, Isaiah.
17:1, I'm sorry.
17:1. This is a prophecy about, it says in my translation, Damascus, or that would be Damascus.
Yes, which is the capital of Syria.
Capital of Syria. Damascus will soon stop being a city.
Yes.
It will become a heap of ruins.
That's right. So that has not happened yet ever.
Never.
Damascus has always been there, always inhabited, never been a ruinous heap.
Wow.
At least that I'm aware of. So, that here's the thing now, and here's where I'm not real positive on. It doesn't say in that day right in that area until we get to the fourth verse.
Hmm.
Now, so maybe it's just in the beginning of the tribulation, if the fourth verse is still kind of like on the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe this is right now, and then verse 4 will happen right away.
And that day comes. And that's when you hear that day in the Isaiah prophecy in chapter 17.
Well, and the reason I say that, too, is because in Psalm 83, Syria is involved here.
Mm-hmm.
So if Syria is taken out, Damascus would be part of that.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we know that this isn't in that day, so we know this is going to happen before the tribulation begins. So I have to assume that this first verse is part of, or, you know, part of Psalm 83.
Okay.
Because it's Syria.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know. Again, I'm just wanting to stir people up. I want to stir them up so that they will do their own homework. I don't want you to believe anything that I say. I want you to be a Berean, as Chuck Misler always says, Acts 17:11. Check it out yourself. I'm only to stir you up. That's what Peter said, too. I want to stir you up.
Yes.
Prophecy is probably one of the best blessings to want to learn because it automatically gives you a hunger to desire more of his word.
Yes.
And that's the blessing that you see in Revelation 1, verse 3. That says if you study it, you'll get a special blessing. And that blessing is the hunger.
Yes.
And how many Christians have said, I just wish I had the hunger for God's word. You know, it's dry to me. I set it aside. I keep putting it off because it doesn't do anything for me. Or I just read the promises of God because that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
People, please sit down at a desk. Get your Bible out. Start reading prophecy books. Look it up. You'll have to look up a little history from time to time, but you've gotten a real good hint to the fact that if it says in that day, it'll happen during the tribulation if it's war, negative.
Mm-hmm. If it's negative, yes.
And if it's like wonderful and restful, then it's the last part of the seventh day, which would actually be 993 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead, ask me a question.
Well, I was going to ask you this, that... Do you actually think there's a war a brewing?
I do.
Between all these nations mentioned in Psalm 83 and Israel?
Absolutely.
Is
right
it imminent?
Now it is. And we know that is because I've been reading the news.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening. They are like wanting to do something because remember, Iran is expecting the Mahdi to appear. That's their Messiah. Okay? So in order for the Mahdi to appear, there has to be a war. So I don't know whether he can start the war. I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I think someone else has to start it. So then he would be instigating it as much as he possibly can. So by sending missiles and ammunition and all these weapons and things over to Syria to give to Hamas and Hezbollah, then he could maybe instigate Israel to start something to stop them what they're doing.
Now, and then the results of this war is Israel's going to win.
Absolutely. Now, it doesn't specifically say that, but you get it through the language of reading it, because he closes with, you may know that you are the Most High. So, yes, they're going to win. And then we've got Ezekiel 38. Again, let's go back to there.
Mm-hmm.
That we see now their enemies are further out. Why? They've won and they've taken over the area of Psalm 83. Expanded their borders, so they've gone past their walls, so there won't be any walls there.
Ah,
okay?
Okay.
And they will have gotten booty and all that kind of stuff from all those that they've taken.
Wow.
You know? So
You see Israel winning this war.
I do.
And like the 67 war, they actually will increase their territory.
Yes, and which, possibly all the way to what God originally gave them.
Back in Genesis, which was all the way to the from the Nile River all the way to the Euphrates.
That's what when I look at the map and I yes. see that the close enemies, that's what it encompasses. So I could see this happening and them actually getting very powerful and people mm-hmm. respecting them once again, but still making the rest of the Arab countries mad, especially Iran.
Yes.
Which we see will get along with Russia.
Russia.
And
then, so we could actually see this in before the rapture, in our lifetimes, and maybe even this summer, which is a wild thought.
Ooh. Wow. And ooh. If we do see the war of Psalm 83, I'm getting excited. Can I hardly even talk. If we see that war,
yeah,
then we know we're probably out of here real quick, possibly even this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing stuff, isn't
yeah,
it?
Before the November election.
Before the...
because in the November election, we know that it'll probably put off the globalism, at least slow it down a bit. And if that's the case, that's the case. God's given us more time.
Yeah.
Amen?
Okay.
Okay.
I go along with that.
We have to say goodbye.
It's too bad because this is getting really, really interesting. And if you do have a question for Sheila or you would like her to speak at your church or home, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And any and all your donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
They are.
Just a little reminder, please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Be one of
please.
Those 10 with
pledge
a gift.
Pledge $100.
Yes. And send your gifts to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. All donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter as well. Okay, we're going to end with the Aaronic blessing here. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you shalom. Till next week.
Sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
And it's not a maybe.
No, it's a shall.
See you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.